Hello, welcome to Conversations with Send Mum podcast season 2. I am your host, Nicole Bateman, and I am a Send Mum myself, and I chat with other parents of kids with SEND and neurodivergent individuals and professionals who care. This season, we've got loads of great guests that I'll be chatting with, starting with talks about PDA, neurosensory divergence, grief and neurodivergence, as well as talking to a dad. So there's lots coming up, even more than that. They're just the first few episodes, so you're going to want to be listening in. This podcast is here because I want you as the listener to feel less alone. I want to bring to you amazing guests that have been through experiences that you also may have been through yourself, and professionals that care, that can give tips and advice that can help us as SEND parents. So today, this episode is talking about how to advocate for your child. So a little bit about my story and then 5 top tips to hopefully help in that advocation, because many of us, I'm sure, part of our story is fighting to get our kids' needs met. Now, if you've listened to some of season 1, you will know that for the last year, we have been going through the EHCP process, trying to get that support for my son. And actually, about 2 weeks ago, the LA decided to overturn the decision and actually issue an EHCP, which is a big, big win. However, we are not there yet as I'm recording it, but hopefully soon we will be. Like many of you may be listening, if you have a child with special educational needs disabilities, I got a no to assess my son and then a no to issue as well after the no to assess was overturned at mediation. And then I had another meeting and it got overturned. So it's been a lot. It's been draining emotionally, mentally, everything like that. But we've got there. And overall, trust those instincts. Trust those instincts. You know your child the best, and you know if they need that extra support. So do not give up, because unfortunately, a lot of local authorities are giving more no's to see who will actually then push forward and fight and question and go to mediation or go to tribunal. So we've got to keep going. So hopefully some of these tips will help with that. But first of all, I'm going back to right at the start, potentially right at the start, when you think, okay, actually, maybe my child has specific needs. Maybe I need to think about looking for some support. So first of all, whether you're right at the start of that or you're thinking about getting an EHCP for your child, gathering that documentation is, if you have professional reports and you're going towards thinking that you may be wanting an EHCP or also for DLA for your child, then gather documentation from any professional that has been interacting with your child. So for example, for us, so my son has epilepsy and he's autistic. So we have multiple different professionals that have given us reports from the medical side with neurologists, pediatricians, all of those kind of people, as well as OT, ed psychs, speech and language therapy. So we've got quite a lot of evidence there that at first we gathered that together and I looked at patterns and looked at things that people were suggesting the needs there to support. If you haven't got any of that, that's okay, because just start by thinking about a day in a life, just writing, like I suppose like a journal, writing a day in a life of your child. And think about it, especially for some of us and some of the guests that I spoke to in season 1, we were talking about if it's your first child, then you don't sometimes realize the different accommodations that you make in your daily life and how much you do adapt for your child to make sure that they are safe and secure. So maybe chatting to a fellow mum friend, dad friend, whoever, with a child who is neurotypical maybe, and thinking, okay, what are the extra additional things? Because if you're completing DLA forms, then you need to be proving that your child, compared to a child of the same age, is needing more support and more adaptation. So think of it through that lens. And sometimes when you're filling things out, like the DLA forms, it is emotionally draining because you've got to think about the worst day, for example, that you may have. And that we don't necessarily want to be staying in that place and thinking about those worst days. But for some of these things, we have to, and we have to think about how what we do to support our child, what their needs are. So start by writing a day in the life of your child and all of the different things. Just write them down and see if you see some patterns emerging as well of what you do to support. So gather any professional things, gather the documentation and write day in the life of your child and think about if you're going to professionals and you're going to meetings and things like that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get quite emotional when I'm talking about things. And when I'm in that fight mode as well, I sometimes get overcome with the emotion. So sometimes having things written down, I can then pass them to whoever I'm talking to so they can read. And especially, so for a while, my son got triggered in appointments with the doctors when we mentioned seizures, then he would have a seizure. So therefore I'd have to write it down and give it to them and say, please don't mention a bath or a seizure, the words, because that could trigger him. So writing a few things down for when you go into meetings, when you maybe go and first, you know, chat to your GP or chat to school or anything like that, have it written down in case you just can't speak. Because when I'm crying, when I continue to speak, when I feel like I'm going to cry, I just absolutely burst. So if you're like me, then that's a top tip. So number one, gather documentation. Number two, identify specific needs of your child. So thinking about the needs they have, the strengths they have, the challenges they have. And this can be covered in a few different categories, thinking about sensory needs, things do they seek, what things do they avoid. You know, I'm the co-founder of the Super Sensory Squad, which is eight penguins helping you understand the eight sensory systems and helping your kids understand their needs. So we've got a few freebies over at www.thesupersensorysquad.com, so you can have a little look and think about, okay, what does my child seek, what does my child avoid, so they may be helpful in identifying them. Communication as well, how do they communicate? There's a podcast coming out, episode 3, that talks about gestalt language learning and thinking about how your child processes language, how they communicate and things like that as well. Routine, what's their routine like? Write it down. Think about, are there certain things, transitions, all of those things that they may find a bit tricky sometimes. The social, emotional side of things as well. What are their deep interests? What do they absolutely love? What do they focus on? Motor skills, how are they developing attention and focus, and then patterns of any observed behavior, especially if they are triggered, let's say by something in the environment that they're in the room, in school, etc. Then how do they respond when the nervous system is on that kind of fight, flight, fawn, freeze? How do they respond? What do they actually showcase? So any observed behavior in different settings as well, because we know that sometimes kids don't act in the same way in different settings because they are triggered, and in some settings they do not feel safe. So gather documentation, number one. Two, identify specific needs. And number three, research rights and send law. So a lot of the time, unfortunately, and I've definitely experienced this myself and many of my friends have too, and people that have sent messages, unfortunately some local authorities don't necessarily abide by the law when it comes to EHCPs and things like that. So knowing your rights and understanding them is really, really important, because sometimes they count on people not knowing the rights. Like, for example, you know, a needs assessment for an EHCP, it's only two criteria that you need to satisfy, and that's, you know, they may have, you know, SEND need, and they may need an EHCP. So those wordings of may that's all you've got to prove. You haven't got to prove that they definitely need it until you get to the issue stage. But at the assessment stage, it's only may. So thinking about that and knowing the wording of some of the law is really helpful. IPSCA website, they're a charity. They're so useful. I'm currently doing level 2 SEND law at the moment to help myself understand it, but also then to help others and offer some different advocacy services and things like that coming in June. Yeah, definitely go and have a look at the IPSCA website, because they've got so many free resources that can really help you with understanding your rights and understanding SEND law. Number 4 is establishing those communication channels and collaborating, or trying to, because if everyone's on the same page, yourself, school, if they go, local authority, different professionals, if we're all on the same page, that can really help our child to thrive. Now, in reality, I know that that's not necessarily always the case, but we can try. We can try and go with a solution of actually, we all surely care about this child, want this child to thrive. Go with that and then see what happens. Think about when it comes to individual education plans, when it comes to individual healthcare plans, even before even applying for an EHCP, those things should be in place at a school if your child has additional needs. And if it's not, then yeah, send me a message. I can give you some examples, because my son has both. With the individual healthcare plan for his epilepsy, I first of all just created it myself as a parent. Now we've got one from an epilepsy nurse, but at the time we didn't have an epilepsy nurse to help with that. So yeah, if you need any help, then let me know. And there's some great charities, like I know for epilepsy, Young Epilepsy, they have examples. So maybe for different conditions, medical conditions, having a look at some charities that are specific to the condition that your child has can help with individual healthcare plans too. So yeah, but establishing that collaborative relationship is really important. But if that doesn't work out and there isn't that collaboration there, then you've just got to trust your instincts and you've got to continue to advocate for your child's needs, because they are the most important person in this whole thing, because we want them to thrive and we want them to get the support they need. So aim for establishing communication channels and collaboration, but be prepared for some kind of fighting potentially there. Not fight, not physical fighting, obviously, but standing up for your child. And number 5, document all this communication, the decisions, the copies of emails, put them in folders in your email, save them on your computer or on your cloud. Write down, after you've had a conversation, write down what was said. All of these things can be used as evidence. And sometimes we have to have extra evidence in the amount of times that it's like, oh, can we have some more evidence for this? And it's just trying to say, like, okay, this is what's happened. This is the communication trail. This is what you said. This is what I said. And let's move forward with this. So keeping any evidence, any documentation is really, really important, especially if people disagree with your viewpoints and your decisions. So that's some 5 tips. Gather documentation or create some yourself. Identify your child's specific needs, linking with all those different areas that I talked about. Research your rights and SEND law. IPSCA website, great for that. Establishing communication channels and aiming for collaboration is key. And then document all of that communication that you have with all of the different professionals and governing bodies and things like that. If you need additional support, there in our area, there's SEND-IAS for BCP, and I'm sure that SEND-IAS are all over the country. So check them out as well if you need any support. They give impartial advice. But above all, like I said, trust your instinct. You know your child, you're with your child, and don't let other people who, for example, haven't even met your child tell you what your child does or doesn't need, because you are their biggest advocate. And we as parents have got to be the voices of our children when they are young and continue to be there for them and be their support as we hopefully kind of teach them to advocate for their own needs, and we are that support on the side. Know that you're not alone in it as well. This is why this podcast exists, is so that you know that you're not alone. There's many of us out there. Come over to Instagram and connect with me at Conversations with a SEND Mum. on Instagram, see that you're not alone and know that I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for your child. And I really hope that some of these episodes coming up in season two resonate with you and help you and give you that support, give you those tips. And the people that I bring onto this podcast will really give you that value, that support, and help you feel less alone. Enjoy season two. I know I am going to. And definitely come on over and see me on Instagram.